Hey, Jamal, we're recording this for you.
Okay, so I think we lack perspective, man. And so when we come into the presence of the Lord, I mean, like, let's just think of this, right? Like, okay, so, you know, there's a lot of different scriptures that talk about how, like, you know, we are down on earth, he is in heaven. I know that we're seated in heavenly places, but there's a lot of things to talk about the distance, the different perspectives that we have on life, on godliness, and all these things. And so I feel like whenever we come into the presence of the Lord, a really safe, dangerous thing to pray. It's safe because I can guarantee you it's always biblical and God always will want to answer it. It's dangerous because he will always answer it, I believe, because it's his desire. Is say, Lord, give me your heart, give me your eyes, give me your perspective. Don't you don't have to pray for some crazy vision or some crazy revelation, or just say, give me your perspective, all right? Because he desires to make us more like him. The Bible's really clear that as we gaze on him, we become like him, the Bible says. Well, how can we become like him if we're not also becoming and seeing things how he sees things? All right? So it's a simple matter of perspective. So if you jump into 1 Corinthians, let's just ask the Lord to give him, give us his perspective on ourselves. And I know in every other setting, well, I don't know where all you guys go to church, but in many settings, that means, cool, we're going to talk about how we're heirs and sons. And if you were here at the last Broken Free with Reese, who was there with Reese? Yeah, it got crazy about who we are as heirs and sons, and we united people in the spirit. And what's really funny is I forgot that I recorded that. It's how I was going to like put his testimony on Broken Free's site. And I'm like, listen to this stuff. I'm like, wait, Reese is playing the piano. What's going on here? And then it was the knighting. The knighting is on audio, which was that was crazy. And Whitney, my wife, listen, she's like, what is that? And I was like, yeah, don't worry about that. That's what happens sometimes.
No girls allowed.
Yeah, that's right. It's on Broken Free Sing. I snipped it out so people could hear it, but and remember, quite honestly, again, it's just another way to remember what God was saying and doing. So this perspective is not, hey, you're an awesome son and a knight called to advance the kingdom of God. Let's be okay with that. We okay with that?
Yeah.
So 1 Corinthians 6. So again, just because there's new faces. Guys, I believe for me, the Lord has been always challenging me since I became alive to who I was as a free man to read this scripture as it was written. Not for the sake of teaching, per se, for the sake of understanding how it was written. So, you know, when Paul says, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercies, to present your bodies as living sacrifices, and it has an exclamation point. Paul, like we know Paul, right? Paul was like killing dudes or getting him killed or whatever historian you... So he's saying, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercies, present your bodies. I mean, that's what's happening. That he can't get the quill going enough. That's what's happening. So if you read the Bible and it's like, blah, blah, blah. Guys, I'm challenging you to say, all right, Lord, hold on, time out. I wasn't joking in worship, guys. Use your mind's eye. Do you think it's sacrilegious to say, Lord, just show me what Paul was going through right now when he was right? He was in prison. He was in prison? He was in prison about to be sentenced to death, and there was actually no way conceivably for him to get out because he had committed treason against the emperor or whatever. Like, so this might be the last thing he was ever right. Oh, you know what I mean? Like, it's cool to ask the Lord, like, show me what Paul was like. Like, put me in the cell. Like, give me some perspective. I think he's fine with that. So 1 Corinthians 6:12, and that was just a heads up on how to read it. Now, 1 Corinthians, like, you know, so, listen, this dude was like Pharisee, credentialed, right? I mean, like,
yeah.
He could have been tooting all his horns and waving all his badges, all right? Mm-hmm. So, for him to say, like, in verse 12, dude, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful for lawful. That's my high slang coming out. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. Just pause it for 1 second. Chew on that. When you're thinking about meditation, just ask the Lord to like tell you about that. That's just a thing, man. Bible study and digging deep to the Lord doesn't mean you read the whole Bible in a year. Okay? I'm for real. It might mean that you do. It doesn't have to. You can get through a chapter in a year. I mean, that's pretty deep. Okay? So, all things are lawful, but I'll not be mastered by anything. Ask yourself, what am I being mastered by? Are you being mastered by that thing? Are you being mastered by a schedule? Are you being mastered by people pleasing? Are you being mastered by commitments that you've made at your church that seem good, but they're mastering you? Like, a good way to flip the question is there anything that you would say no to and have your excuse be, dude, I just need to spend time with the Lord? If you can't say, yeah, everything, then something has mastery over you other than Christ. I mean, when was the last time you called in for work? I was like, do I have any like PTO? Man, I'm just going to be late. I haven't had time with the Lord yet this morning. Instead, we think work is the priority and we go in on time and keep missing the Lord. I don't know, man. I'm just asking questions, man. How would you be the guy that's known as being late, and instead of being late because he has excuses, it's late because, I don't know, man, he spends time with the Lord and he's always late. He just can't get up on time. Have that be your reputation at work. You guys run a business together, right? Or something? Yeah. You should, like, write into your late policy. Granted, half an hour lateness if it's for the time of Jesus. See how your compliance officer looks at. All right, check this one out. Food is for the stomach, and the stomach is for food. It's like he's about to rap. Your food is for the stomach, and stomach is for food. But God will do away with both of them. Yet the body is not for immorality, but for the Lord. And the Lord is for the body. Read that again. Food is for the stomach. Food goes in your stomach. You consume it. You like it as it's going down most of the time. And it's for the stomach. And the stomach was made for food, okay? But God will do away with both of them. So it's like, it's good they work. They're in their nice little relationship. This is how God made them. But God's going to do away with both of them. Yet the body is not for immorality. So we are not to be immoral. We're not made for it. Listen, you're not made for it. You are broken if you are given over to immorality. It's not what you're made for. That's not why you just feel bad or feel... It's not what you're made for. Okay? Let's ask the Lord. Continue. Like, Lord, give me your perspective on this. But it's for the Lord. So listen, like, Jared, the Lord didn't make you for immorality. He made you for himself. Which means, listen, if I make a cake for my son's birthday and he feeds it to the cat, I'm not going to be happy. I made it for him. For real. And what if the next day, just follow this, guys. How many of you are fathers? Raise hands. Okay. I'm just going to go with the fathers. Look, you make the cake for your kid and he gives it to the cat. That's on Monday. So you're a good father. So you make him another cake on Tuesday. Here you go, son. He says, aw, and gives it to the cat. For real, you're a little mad. That's like eggs and flour. I'm serious, right? Like think of, and then you do, but you're a good dad, so you can do it again on Wednesday. And he gives it to the cat. Dude, if you're like me, like it would have been Tuesday, and I'm like, son, what are you doing, man? I made it for you. Like, I'm not going to, my patience is not going to be that great. I didn't make it for the cat. I made it for you. So how many days of our lives have we taken what God made for himself and sold it to the harlot? And he's like, I didn't make you for that, but my mercies are new every morning, so I'm going to wake you up the next morning. Do you know that's why you wake up, by the way, man? Because his mercies are made new. Because tomorrow's not promised for you. You know not what a day may bring forth. It's the kindness of the Lord to wake you up every morning. Do you understand that? Maybe some of you don't realize that. And then you think it's your right to decide if you want to be lazy and sleep until you feel like getting up. Man, the Lord is, I'm just going to be straight and honest. Because this is where I'm at. The Lord is straight up convicting me about getting up in the morning with a simple thing. Saying, Justin, if you keep waiting till you feel like waking up, you will never follow me. Because you can't follow me doing what you feel like. You have to choose to simply obey and do what is right. Do what I made you for. So like, guys, there's this thing, man, of like, It's what he made you for. It's not for immorality. It's for the Lord. Just picture yourself. I don't know what the thing would be. Like, I don't know. I feel like you aren't getting the cake thing. Like, I buy you an iPhone. I say, take it. And you're like, sweet. I buy you an iPhone. You're sweet. Target practice. And you just, it's the thing that I gave you for the purpose for which I gave it. You then just decide to use it for something over and over and over again. And if you're anything like an earthly father, you just kind of get fed up. So do you think that the Lord is just going to wait and tarry forever for you to then not experience the consequence and the wages of that? Like, I think we all know to some degree the level of what that is, but do we have the Lord's perspective on it? So this is a good part. Because I love this word. Verse 14. Okay, so we get that, but your body is for the Lord and the Lord is for the body. So the Lord's for your body. Now God has not only raised the Lord, but will also raise us up through his power. That word raised in the Greek is awakened. And man, when I read that and just like, that's what I wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead. I feel like the church is being lulled into sleep, to the sleep of the wilderness, where we say, you know what? I'm content to live in the wilderness where there's victories and struggles and I occasionally win and the manna is kind of all right and I don't hate it enough to go back to Egypt. Because you understand this, right? I mean, I'm not a big historian of the Old Testament, but as I understand it, you know, you probably know more than me do, so correct me. I don't think anybody ever left and went back to Egypt. The Bible doesn't ever say, yeah, and this guy named Shemite and his family of Choabam, they left and took their cattle back to Egypt. Do you get it? Listen to that. So no one went back to Egypt. They were set free. So no one went back to that slavery.
Yeah.
Yet they settled to live in the wilderness and therefore were then enslaved by their own discontentment and their lack of believing for the promised land, which is just a bigger country that they were enslaved in than when they were in Egypt. They were just in the, I don't know. Like, that's just crazy. Yeah. Like, sometimes you think, well, I'm never going to go. At least I'm not doing that. But yet you're settling for less than what Christ paid for. And you're not calling it slavery, yet you're very much enslaved. So the Lord, so I feel like the Lord is saying, wake up, church. Wake up, people of God. But God, so God has not only awakened the Lord, but he will also wake us up through his power. Praise the Lord. So any of you need help getting up in the morning? Like, just claim that verse. Man's going to wake me up through his power. Amen. Praise the Lord, right? Verse 15. So in lieu of that, your body was something shaped and crafted from dust in your mother's womb, knit together for the Lord's purpose and for the Lord's glory. Get his perspective on it. So don't you know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take away the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Yo, that's crazy. What it's really saying is, shall I unknit this thing, this arm, and go knit it over, I won't use any as an example because you're not the harlot, but and go knit it to the harlot so that now you are controlled by the harlot. You are subject to the harlot. You are a part of, you are one with the harlot. And we're like, yeah, no, I mean, we're not that deep in our sin. Really? Let's go a couple verses. Or do you not know that the one who joins himself to a harlot is one body with her? For he says the two will become one flesh. But the good news, there's a lot of buts in here, man. But the one who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with him. So listen, guys, you can't be joined to the harlot and joined to the spirit of the Lord. Why? Because the Lord has no fellowship with darkness. It's like we're a potato head man, right? One day we take off our arm and plug it into the harlot, and the next day we pull that arm back and we plug it into the spirit. Is that really how it works? Who is deceived? And I'm gonna let you just ask the Lord about it. Listen, is that what's really going on? Like, do we really, can we be one with the Lord And then just the next day we'll decide we'll be one with the harlot. And then be one with the Lord. And one with the harlot. And all the while, you know what you're telling yourself? You're telling yourself the same thing I was telling myself in my seventh year of youth ministry. Patting myself on the back for all the youth that were coming out. And all the worship that I was leading. Calling myself a what? A follower of Christ. Calling myself as one who was united with Christ in his death. Who's deceived? I was. Because the thing you keep coming back to is where your treasure is. Right? It's where your heart is. And so I think some of us, I'm daring you to ask the question. Some of us stand over here on the side of Christ and we say, but I'm really Christ. But I just choose to go over there once in a while. Okay. Can I dare you to ask yourself the question, Lord? Is your perspective that you don't even know me? But I just keep coming over once in a while after school just so I can say that I know you? Guys, if we're not willing to ask that question and say, Lord, whose am I? If you wonder why you're not experiencing victory over sin, because maybe it's sin that you're in love with. And as Jake Carroll says often from Threshold, he says, God doesn't rescue you from your friends. Never has, never will, never promised to do that. But he'll save you from your enemies. So who's the... If I become friends with the Lord, one with the Lord, then he will save me from my enemies. But if I'm a friend over here, he doesn't save me from my friends. I don't know, man. It's just this good stuff to chew on with Jesus. Verse 18. So flee immorality. Like, I feel like he's realizing, like, dude, you can't have it both ways, man. So flee immorality. And I'll just be frank, man. Someone texted me. I hope my ADD, you're following, but someone just texted me a week ago. No one in this room, but some brother that's definitely trying to just walk and understand what it means to walk in freedom. And I'm okay with people engaging the process and going to the gym and text me all day and say what, like, that's cool. But I'm going to give you honest feedback. So when you say, yo, what do you do when you're just, you're feeling so tempted at night? I mean, it's literally, I read it. Well, it's recording, but it, what do you, is this okay? Guys, understand, this is okay. I'm just going to tell you what I think you should do. I'm going to answer the question for you. If you're in a situation where you're so overcome with temptation and you're just gritting and baring your teeth just to get through so you don't give in and, oh, sleep finally comes and cool, you didn't masturbate or look at porn or lust in your mind or whatever the thing was and you didn't do it. And you wake up and the next day the air is so just polluted with, you're just still so tempted and like John, but you're fighting and you get out the door and go to work and you come home and it's still, man, you just are fighting and you're trying to like say truth stuff, I know. And then you give in later that night to the temptation. And then you text me the next day and say, dude, this is what happened. What should I do? I'll tell you what I texted him. Flee immorality. Run. Don't stay around it. Do not sit in the seat of scornful, nor stand in the way of sinners. Or what stand, whatever those things in Proverbs. Don't sit, stand, or stay, or whatever. Get. Run. I literally said, I don't even care if you run. You were made to run. Oh, man. Someday we're going to talk about how you were made to run. I was just talking with Jesus. Like, do you understand you were made to run? Amen. You were literally made to run. It's crazy. Listen, when God made Adam and stuff, there was no other form of transportation. And trust me, they weren't just walking everywhere. All through Scripture, it's all about running and run not. And run. You were made to run. So flee immorality is what you were made to do. Like, get. I don't care if you don't have running shoes. If you're in your home, you're whatever. No one else needs to know why you run. And you don't have to ever be able to run a mile. Just get out and run. And I'm telling you on God's word that something happens when you flee. Amen. Ask Joseph. Something happens when you flee.
Flee. Guys, if you're not willing to flee, then you don't get it. You don't understand the life and death choice that you are engaging with death. You just don't have a perspective on it. What I told him in the text was, dude, if someone had like put a poison bomb in your house and you were just and trying to, you wouldn't stay there and just hope it doesn't get you. You'd understand this life, get out, you'd run. I don't know. I do know. Yeah. Flee immorality.
Yeah, that's good.
Every other sin that a man commits is outside his body, but the immoral man sins against his own body. And whose body is it?
Lord's.
Or don't you know? Didn't you know? Maybe you didn't know. I'm not yelling because I'm mad. Don't you know that your body is the dwelling place, the temple of the Holy Spirit who's in you, whom you have from God? And that you are not your own. You've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God. And man, listen. What's the next word in your translation say?
Your body.
What?
Your body.
Give me the next word. Glorify God. With. Is yours say with?
Yeah. The one I memorized it.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. What does yours say though? Raise your hand if your scripture says in.
In your body?
Yeah.
In.
Who says with? Says with. What you got? Okay. NIV.
NIV. Nearly imperfect.
Walter.
I agree with you, brother. I memorized, glorify God with your body. Which to me was like, dude, everything I do, man, I'm glorifying God. And then it was like, oh, in your body? Oh. Oh.
Thoughts.
Yeah. Thoughts, meditations, the sexually immoral things I'm doing are in my body, as it said, 2 verses. How no, man. So, this is like, don't mishear what I'm saying. Guys, I believe freedom comes from falling so in love with Jesus that nothing else holds power. Okay? Don't mishear what I'm saying. Okay? Foundation. You fall in love with Jesus, I promise you, I've said it before, I know nobody. If you're this person, come up so I don't say this ever again. I know nobody that can tell me, Justin, all I've done is pursue the Lord with all my heart. I love him with all my soul, with all my mind. I've even given my riches to the poor, and I've laid everything down. And all I'm doing is seeking his face, and I'm still falling into sin. But that's all I've been doing in my life. Is just pursuing a love relationship with the Lord. But yet, I don't know anyone. So, it's love with Jesus conquers all lesser loves. Bottom line. It's not a saying, it's like Jake said, you know, it's a yes equals a no. It's not saying no to everything. But guys, we are called to honor God in our bodies. We are called to understand that this isn't ours. When you understand that this isn't yours, you stop making decisions about what this thing does. Because it's not yours. And you start realizing, you know, I mean, can I just be straight? Can I be straight?
Yeah, sure.
Because, like, we're men. And if you don't get this perspective or this level of intensity perspective, and maybe some of you never come back and say, but guys, just understand. And yeah, this is awkward to say, but this is just perspective. Perspective is this. When you choose to masturbate, it's not you taking your hand and jerking off with your hand. It's you taking the Lord's hand and jerking off with his hand. Because it's his body. When you choose to look at pornography, it's not you just saying, I'm going to do this. It's you taking the hand of the Lord and saying, hey, click there for me, Jesus. Click, look at it. Tap and scroll. Hey, Jesus, check this out. Holy Spirit.
Guys, that's reality. It's not your body. It's His. Your body was for the Lord. Don't you know that you were crucified with Christ in the life you live? You don't live on your own. It's not yours. That's not, the point of that is not to like fear you, guilt you, shame you, or any way. Is to bring conviction. And the next time that you're faced with the decision, I'm believing by faith that there's already a sword there blocking the way, and you're going to choose life. But I know you're presented with a million other choices all the time. And I'm just asking you to understand this. That when we choose those things, and we choose to enter into those things, knowing full well, because honestly, now you're accountable. Now you know. How do they know unless the word is preached? Well, now you know. That it's the Lord's body. And yes, His grace is sufficient and will cover you. It has covered you. He has already shed His blood for the forgiveness of the sins. Okay? So this isn't like some Catholic thing or something. But I am saying, can we be sober-minded? Can we be... Are we willing to say, like, Lord, I think I'm ready for your perspective. Because my perspective keeps allowing me to rationalize sin. So, I know that's like maybe heavy, but
preach it.
Yeah, guys. We have to get God's perspective. Okay? Because when we have His perspective, then we can totally have those amazing times of, Lord, I'm your son. Oh my goodness. Mm-hmm. This is amazing. But you can't just choose to have His perspective on that and not also take His perspective on what He paid for. So take both. Get both. All right, so Father, I'm just praying, Lord, would you, God, I understand that I'm a man and I know in part and I testify in part. And Lord, I'm asking your Holy Spirit to test. I'm asking these men to test. Against the word of God. What has been shared. Always. Always. Whether it's in a book. Whether it's from a preacher. God. Always to test it and say, Lord. So God, I'm asking the same thing, Lord. That, Lord, everything that is not of you would fall mute. Just you have no right to carry any shame, condemnation, fear, or half-hearted conviction. But God, what is true, let the fruit remain and bear much fruit. And I thank you for these men, God, that by coming here have said, I am no longer going to be enslaved and okay with living for myself. But I choose to walk in freedom. And I pray that, God, as they come and they go, God, I even pray for this night, would you bless it and redeem it, God, the same times, the times, Lord, that they are redeeming even now by not staying up late for the things of the world and the evil deeds done in darkness, God. Would you redeem these times? In the name of Jesus, and begin to bring fruit into their marriages and their lives and hope into their heart in the name of Jesus. Yeah, we love you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen,
amen,
guys.
Amen. Amen.